We have been for the summer having a theme based around the gardener's question time. We've had a panel and they've done really well. And I just want to recap a little bit of what those themes have been about if you've missed them. And then we're going to talk to the people who are going to get baptized. And I'm going to explain a little bit about baptism as well, because I'm aware that some of us here, it's a new concept, or if it's not and you haven't, you're thinking about it, then it's always good to have a little bit more information. So last week we were looking at the Garden of Eden. It says God planted the garden. So God is a gardener already. From the beginning of Genesis, it says God planted the garden, and then he put man into that garden. And we talked last week, the panel, John was hosting it, and Joan and Claire and Joy, they did well. If you were here, all the panels have done well, but they did well answering some difficult questions, because you have to wrestle with some of the issues that at the beginning of the Bible, why did it all go wrong? But also, we look back at what was the original, what was the point? What was the original purpose? Sometimes I find things, you're going around a secondhand shop or a car boot sale, and you pick something up and you think, this looks really interesting, but I've got no idea what it does. And you think, someone knows what this does. This was designed, this was created, this was put together because it does a certain thing brilliantly, but I can't figure out what it is. And some of us are a bit like that. We are looking around at each other and going, hey, this, the statement that says, stop the world, I want to get off. There are days, I don't know whether you have days like that, where you just think, this is all a bit too much. This is too mean, it's just too much. Stop. And I think God knows exactly how we feel, because he holds us and says, this isn't how you were designed to live. This wasn't what I intended. This wasn't the original purpose for you. Genesis tells us the original purpose was to be in connection with God, walking in the cool of the day. Maybe not as cool as today. We could do with a bit more sunshine. But there was a connection with God, just a day by day, not only going to him every now and again and not going to some almighty supreme being who was so distant. It was just a relationship of friends who wanted to spend time with each other. And there was a heartbreaking consequence. It was mentioned last week. The heartbreaking consequence of us being tricked, that there was something better than what we had originally. And now we are trying to find our way back to that. It was stated quite a lot last week that God has never stopped loving us. He has never stopped wanting to be connected with us. And, Campbell is away in Canada at the moment. And it's modern technology is brilliant. WhatsApp, Skype, all of these things. It means that he can be in Canada climbing up hills, and sometime in the afternoon, ping, the WhatsApp goes, and you run over and it's Campbell. And just saying something stupid, or sending us a video of him cleaning his teeth. But the fact is, it doesn't matter. It's not, well, Campbell, you didn't come to me in the right way, and you didn't send me a letter and talk to me and approach me in the right way. I just love to hear him. And God's trying to get us back to just loving, to hearing his voice. That song when we sung, I love your presence. That's God singing it to us. Hey, I just love it when you connect with me, and when you look at me, and when you think about me, and when you talk to me, and when you ask me for help. So the week before, week three, Pete was running it, and we were talking about the parable of the workers, where the story goes that a vineyard owner goes out to find the people who are waiting for work. And he gets the first lot and he gives them offers them a massive incentive to come and work for him. a month's worth of work for a day's work. They come and work for him. Later on in the day, he goes back and gets a few more. And at the very end of the day, he goes back and he says, I will pay what is fair for you to come and work. And we saw God's heart of keeping his word, of being fair, being a God who is generous and full of grace. It was the other workers who were complaining about it. Actually, we had Sue on the panel, and it's funny how you take each of those stories and you see them from a different point of view. Because Sue had worked in helping people get into work, her perspective was, what about the people who were left there till the end of the day? No one wanted them. They stood in the hot sun waiting to get a job. What about, how did they feel? Because actually when you're struggling for work, it gnaws away at your value and who you are. And you know, no amount of encouragement. Some people just go out and get a job. Tell them how good you're going to be. You haven't got that within you. And so we looked at that and we transferred that into the workplace to see how hard it is to actually work with people. So you've got people who you sit next to. Maybe they sniff. And you can't get that little noise out of your mind. And after a while you feel, you sniff once more and I'm going to choke you. You know, a mercy killing for the rest of the office. You know, you lose total perspective. I often say to the two Claires, I say, do I do things that annoy you? They have this look on their face. How long have we got? I think is the look. I drum my... I enjoyed playing the drums this morning. It was fun. Yeah, thank you. The summer, Claire's away. Don't tell her. Claire's away, so the rules don't apply. So me and Pete sneak back into the band for just a bit of fun. So, but I drum on the thing, I hum, I mutter, I talk, just randomly bits come out of me, you know. So I must be a nightmare to work next to. And how do you deal with it? Because it's not about people performing in the right way. They're never going to do that. What resources have we got? What resources can God give us to be able to be generous, to be able to be gracious, to be able to see that people are worth more than just what they do or what they don't do? And it was great. I really appreciated hearing from John and Susie particularly, just honestly saying, you know, it's tough and we have to change the way we look at things because we should be different than the rest of the world. Week two, we saw the parable of the sower, which is where some seed goes onto the path, some seed goes into the brambles, and we looked at, with Holland and Tanya, we looked at about how the worries of this life just pull us down. And you know, that gnawing feeling of where's the next meal going to come from? Where's the money? How are we going to pay the mortgage? That just grinds you down. And it's not where we are supposed to be. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. You know, it's don't worry, be happy. How's that going? You know, we just get worn down by our experiences, by our fears, by our anxieties, and suddenly the good things that God has got for us or wants for us, we're in a mess and we don't even want to move because we've got brambles all around us. The good soil, it says there, is the soil that originates, things that originate from him and are empowered by him. And so we get back to week one where we were talking about the ultimate reconnection process, which is the parable of the vine and the branches, where Jesus says, if you remain in me, if you remain connected to me, if you remain, if you stay, if you dwell, then my life will flow through you like it was originally supposed to, and you will bear fruit. You will have everything that we've talked about, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. That is a byproduct of connecting to God. The beginning of the Bible, we're disconnected. By the end, God has made a way for us to reconnect. And it says there that he'll lift us from the dirt. He'll lift us out of the dirt and wash us and clean us. And like an expert vine dresser, he will place us ready to just live life to the full. So we've kind of gone in reverse order. We heard about the disconnection. And baptism is one of those things. It's about reconnecting. It's about a process, the process of reconnection. Because at the beginning of the Bible, we're disconnected. We're disconnected from God, and we're disconnected from each other. If you read the story, basically what God says is, if you do this certain thing, if you eat from that, from the fruit of that tree, then you're going to disconnect from me. And that's going to be a disaster, because you're going to start to die. You are going to start to live a life that has no life in it, just like a branch cut from a tree. And then the second thing that happened once they did that is they started blaming each other. So the man and the woman started saying to each other, well, it was her fault. She did it. There's a great, I like this, I joke every time I think of the Garden of Eden. I imagine Adam going along with the kids to the edge of the Garden of Eden. The gates are there. The angels are there guarding it. He goes, that's where your mother ate us out of house and home. That's what happens. We start blaming each other. In stressful situations, we need someone to blame. If someone is blaming you for something, they are stressed. They need someone to blame. The government, God, anything. All it just means is they're not coping very well with life, and they need someone to blame. The whole of the world had fallen apart for these guys, and they needed someone to blame, and they started blaming each other. And so the reconnection process for us is to start to connect with God again. And as he gives us what we need, then we can start to love one another. Because loving people without the resources is impossible. And Jesus said that. He didn't say, try your hardest to be nice to people in front of their faces and then get some relief afterwards with some of your friends when you bitch about them. And that's kind of all we can expect. He said, love your enemy. So don't even worry about loving your friends. Love your enemy. Do good to those who hate you. Be nice to the ungrateful. You know, we don't mind it when we do something nice and someone's desperately, oh, thank you so much. You know, that's a real test for me in the food bank, you know, where the guys in the food bank are giving out food. But what if the people aren't grateful and saying, oh, thank you, you've saved my life. Just like, well, I'll be back next week. Well, we're told to be kind and generous to those who are just not coping enough to even figure out that they need to be grateful for those things. So it's impossible without God. And I like to think of it as like a plug. We are connected to God with a wire. Permanently, we were hardwired in to God and to each other. That was the original plan. And when it was, when that disaster in the beginning of the garden, the cables are cut. So we're now sitting there with a loose cable at the end of it. You can't get them anymore. You used to be able to buy products with nothing on the end of it. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with Brexit. Are we going to lose the 13-amp plug and we're going to start buying tellies with no plugs? Europe came up with some good ideas. Things that need to be plugged in should have a plug on the end of them. And I don't mind it when I get the thing out. I mean, computers, every time you get a new screen, you get three different versions of the plugs, so that's a bit over the top. But, boom, I like the skill of rewiring a plug. You know, figuring out how long each bit needs to be and always getting it slightly wrong and then jamming it in with a screwdriver at the end. You know what I'm talking about, people. Not having the right screwdriver, spearing yourself in the hand, thinking you're really good and you can cut round the wire and then you cut it completely off and have to start all over again. Or biting it with your teeth and realizing that's not a good idea when your mouth's full of those little brass bits that are sticking into you. But if you get it right, you get each wire in the right place, put the plug back on again, and then you have the ability to reconnect it to the power source. And baptism is a little bit of that. In Matthew, at the end of Matthew, these are the last words that Jesus says. All authority in heaven, this is verse 18, on earth is given to you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded to you, and surely I will be with you. When we're talking about following Jesus, Baptism is about reconnecting to the Father, reconnecting to the Son, reconnecting to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to say which one of those plugs are which, but it's three. And for me, the plug is Jesus. The plug is what God has provided to give us a way to connect back to the power source. And so as we are baptizing people today, we are reconnecting them. We are reinstating the connection to the power source as to what was originally there. Jesus was baptized. And you say, well, why did Jesus need to be baptized? Well, he gave us an example. And when he was baptized in water, he heard the voice of the Father. And one of the things that we've spoken about today and we constantly go on about here is hearing the Father's voice. When you are baptized, and just every single day, you need to know that the Father is speaking to you and saying, this is my Son in whom I love and whom I'm well pleased. You're doing a great job. You're my favorite, like Joan said last week. I know I'm his favorite. That's what we all need to know. We need to know that we're God's favorite. The New Living Translation, Galatians 3 and verse 27, says, and all of you who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ, like putting on new clothes. I love that. As we come up out of the waters of baptism, we are no longer, it's just us, we're empowered, we're put on, we're covered with Christ, like new clothes, and it's fresh. It's like putting on new clothes. I like clothes, and I like some of those tracksuits they've had in the, I'm not sure about the GB tracksuit, the thing with a sort of elastic round the waist, not having that at all. Don't know who did that. They should be gone. The French, quite nice, little Lacoste, thing, thinking of Simon there. I could see you. You could go the Italian, the Italians was made by Giorgio Armani, had a big 7 on it, I like that one a lot. So any general, Olympic range gear, apart from the UK stuff, bring it my way, okay? Putting on new clothes, it's good. And baptism is exciting. It's exciting to be part of it. We're going to hear from Claire. I'm going to talk and interview her. She said, I want to be on the stage and have that on air bit. So this is all for you, Claire. This is, we pull out all the stops, okay? And then when we finally got Claire to stop, we know Claire. We will bring Isaac in, and Emily's going to interview Isaac and hear a little bit about him. So it's God's intention to get us back. We are in a journey to get back to the original plan, to get back to the garden, back to the future. It's back to what was originally planned. And unless you know and understand what was originally designed for, you won't understand any of this journey. It's not about being good. It's not about trying your best. It's about knowing that you are a electrical device without a plug on the end. And it's little wonder that you're not operating in the way that you should. And unless you get a plug on it and reconnect it back to the power source, you are wasting your time in trying to do anything else. We are not good Christians. I am not a good Christian. I am someone who is connected. Without God, I am nothing. Without his power, I am dead. And just, there's nothing good in me unless it comes from him. And trying to kind of resurrect or tweak the wires or stick them into the plug some other way or try and put an odd kind of shaped plug on the end isn't going to help. You were designed for a connection with God, and that's what we are working our way back to. And even when we get that connection, it's remaining in that connection. So I'm going to ask Claire to come and come on down.
One of the things we've been doing over the time we've been doing our gardener's question time is sneakily actually finding out about people. Because it's not really about answering questions, it's more about finding out who people are so that you can have a conversation. And, you know, a little bit like Pears, when Joy got up and spoke, I'm pointing over there, Joy's over there. When Joy got up and said she was from South Africa, Linda was able to say, "Ooh, yes, I'm from South Africa too." Now, how they haven't quite found each other, I'm not quite sure. But it's good that they have found each other. And so, you know, Claire, tell us a bit about yourself. Where do you live? I'm not going to ask you how old you are, unless you want to tell us. Where do you live? What do you do?
Clevedon, and I support Dominic, who's not here.
Oh,
and I don't know where he is. He's always here.
Should you be looking after him? Is he somewhere else?
I'm not supporting him today.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. We're going to all relax at that point.
Yeah, he may be down the lake. I don't know.
Okay.
There's a few coming down the lake. Yeah. Excellent. I've been living.
Up a little bit further.
A bit further. Clevedon, 13 years.
Okay.
I blew in from Bristol.
Okay.
So this is changing from Bristolian to Somerset.
Is it?
Yeah.
Can we tell the difference?
Yeah. I think so.
And you've got children?
Oh, yeah. Diggory's here. Wave.
Cheer John for Diggory.
Way. I got him to church.
Good job.
My voice is croaky. I went to family wedding yesterday.
Okay, how was it?
It was really good.
Good.
It was really good. It was very special. Very special day.
I did think about you with the weather. I hope it wasn't.
It didn't actually affect it. Okay. I mean, the tent was blowing and the rain was pouring. Everyone was like, "Oh, it's great!" Everything. There was happiness. So
good. Good.
It was brilliant.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, tell us a little bit about why you want to be baptized.
Okay.
Your journey to getting here.
Okay, we'll start with the journey. So I blew into Clevedon. I'm a lapsed Catholic, so it's not completely, you know, it's completely different, but I believe there was some faith there. And you were talking earlier about signs and how I'd always had these. I was talking to someone, a friend from our little family at Open House, and he said to me, this is when I was on the edge and I was just sort of, after 4 years, still going, well, this is enough for me. Open House is, I love it there. It's my family. I like it. I'll just go to this twice a week. And he said to me, I often know things are going to happen, you know. And my friend just used to call me a witch, at which I just laughed. I know I've always had that. And he said, do you not think it's God talking to you? And it just dawned on me then, and I just went, maybe. And I was still teetering on the edge of just, this is enough for me, coming to see Mary and Liz and the family that are all here. And then I came here to see Don Double, which I just chose that day to come. And everyone said, what a great day to come. You're really going to enjoy it. Oh, you'll love him. And that was an amazing day. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that was it.
Yeah.
So this is just over a year on.
I turned around and saw Claire on Don's knee, and him looking at me like, who is this person? Why are they laughing and falling around on me? And I'm thinking, I wish I could tell you. But what I can tell you is that it's not someone who normally does this, and it must be genuinely an encounter with God, because this isn't something normal people do. You know? No, you know what I mean? This isn't something normally people do.
I went home and shared as well with the neighbours. Oh, you don't know what just happened. And they were just looking at me. Oh, really? Really? And I've never looked back. And Shane was there, Daniel were there. They were just laughing at me on the floor. All right, Claire. I was going, yeah, I was having a really good time. And then I sat down and then I just told them to go away and I just wept.
Yeah. And how that was a kind of big, you know, pretty
massive,
spectacular beginning to
it was.
To a journey. And where, how's it moved from there?
I've been catapulted.
Really?
Yeah. I said that to Martin at Christmas, and I said, does that happen? Does that happen? Does this happen? And you get catapulted really quickly. Well, yeah. And I love it. Yeah, it's changed my life.
Yeah. You went down and disturbed the people at Lee Abbey.
Oh, yeah, they did want a warning about that. They said thanks. They did, didn't they? What,
yeah, come on, Liz.
Mother Liz.
You need the microphone, Liz, otherwise we can't hear from
you. Go. All right, then.
I'll come over.
The warden was sat talking to Claire at the dinner table, and he said, do you know what, Claire? I reckon that your minister should have phoned me and warned me you were coming.
It wasn't a silent retreat. I think no one thought that Claire could have managed a silent retreat. We've got to do this thing in stages. But it was a good time.
It was a really good time. Yeah. Really good time. And when I left, well, you know what I do at the in the back row. But anyway, they all did that when I left as well. They all lined the door. Everybody came together and started cheering. And it was just like, oh, thank you. And they just shared that. They said, you know, you bring such joy. And I didn't know that, really. Yeah. I think I'm quite annoying, actually, sometimes.
No.
No, I do. And I'm not everyone's cup of tea. And I can actually overstep the mark. And I don't mean to. And I do, and I'm getting better accepting myself now.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, because that was a big deal to me.
Yeah. And we've seen that. We've seen, you know, yeah, God just continued to work in you.
Mm.
So why did you suddenly think, well, hey, I better get baptized? It's a fairly random thought. One of the tests as to why people genuinely, they're hearing from God is that very few people who don't know have a connection with God come and say, please, can you take me to the Marine Lake and dunk me under the water in front of all my friends and family? So you know that it's something, there's something in it, there's something powerful in it that.
And I've so you, big witness.
Yeah, you were almost, when the lake was being repaired, Claire's been pestering me for about a year. So
I
haven't done a very good job. And we wanted to be the first in and we failed miserably, but we're going for it anyway.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I put all that, I'm joking aside. Yeah. That was, I want Points West down there. I want the Clevedon Mercury. Let's get churches together. Let's do it. Yeah, big. And then when it came down to it, it's just like, let's just do it. Yeah. And I'm doing it with Isaac, which is really nice as well.
And what do you hope that this baptism is going to, what's it going to be for you and why are you doing it?
Andy, I've been redeemed. No, that's a joke. We share a lot of jokes at Open House.
Yeah.
But I do want to read this. We play a little game at Open House.
Open House, for those of you who need filling in, is our community cafe run by Mary.
Love Mary.
Round of applause for Mary. Yes. who faithfully runs Wednesdays and Fridays, and it has changed and it adapts and it moves. The main constant through it is Mary, and the constant through it is that there's always a God slot and there's always a challenge, and it's
God slot. You're as bad as me. Mainly there's laughter, honestly, and cake on birthdays and cards. And
it's a family, it's a community.
It's a proper family.
Anyway, sorry, Andrew.
Yeah, basically, so we play this game, and we don't play it every week. It's not a religious thing. We don't do it all the time. We just go, we name a celebrity, and we go, oh, do you think he's born again? And then that's what we do, and then we get it up on Google. And then we're voting. A lot of people go, no, it can't be. And then we surprise ourselves that they are. Anyway, so we were going through the list, and this one jumped out, me and Gerard, actually. Mickey Rooney, born again. All the muddy waters of my life cleared when I gave myself to Christ. And I just thought that was really apt because I'm going into the really muddy waters. And it just sort of everything. And that's how I feel as well.
Yeah.
About my life,
because
they were really murky for many years, and it's not so murky now.
Yeah, amen. and it will continue to clear.
Yeah.
It's a process.
Yeah.
And I know that God's got you on a journey, and this is part of that journey. And it's, this is a new reconnection, you know, mind. The three parts of us, God's created us with a soul, and our soul is our mind, our emotions and our will. And when those things are in balance, we're in balance. When they're out of balance, we malfunction. We either can't do what we want to do, or we don't know what to do, and we're confused. And when we get those things reconnected to God, He gives us the things to do. He gives us the power to do them, and when, how to do them. And actually, life. He gives us life. Jesus said, "I came to give you life, and life in its fullness." And so many people are existing, but it's not living. And I believe that God's. You know, we didn't quite have the faith to believe that as we put Claire under the water, that the marine lake would turn
crystal
aquamarine around us. But hey, maybe you guys can believe us. So as people are praying for you, and as people are thinking about you going into the water, what are you believing to leave behind in those waters? Because I encourage people to say, yes, you're leaving the old self. You're leaving the bit, the dead bit of you, the carapace that isn't, you know, it just needs to be taken off. But what else are you leaving or wanting to leave in the waters?
Yeah, the old me, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old me. I still have it. I still, you know, I have a few drinks and I really think I muck up. And it's like, you haven't mucked up, Claire. You're just being yourself. It's just... it's heightened. It's just like, you know, I just doubt, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a constant pressure for us to perform for God's acceptance, to do it all right, and then He'll give us a tick. Except that's not how a relationship works. A relationship in its truest form. You think about someone you have or want to have a really good relationship with. Does it matter what they do? Does it matter? And that's God's heart for us. Yes, He's got things which are better for us to do than other things, but it's not about getting it all right. It's a matter of staying connected to Him.
I will get it wrong.
We will keep praying. Yeah. I will get it wrong.
Yeah, we all get it wrong.
Continue to get it wrong. Yes,
and I know that. And that's acceptance as well, which absolutely. Is, I did it again, or, you know, it's just it's just life, and that's... Yeah. Just to accept that's life, you know, which is brilliant.
Yeah, good. Good. Well, give Claire a round of applause.
I've been back. No. One more thing. I've been redeemed. No, I won't say that again. But I'm so pleased you're here, because this is my new family. Yeah. And I love Open House. And I love my family at Open House. And they're all here, and they're very special to me. And you're all very special to me, and I love the big band. Can we do it again at the end? Can we?
Yeah, we'll do one at the end.
Let's do one at the end. Come on, let's do one at the end. Yeah, can we have one at the end? Thanks. Right, nice. Cheers, bye.
Yeah. Round of applause for them. As you've got to know Claire a little bit more, maybe you know Claire. If you've got a word from God or something that you want to give to her, or as she's being baptized, you think, actually, I've seen a picture, or God's given me something, then tell her or tell us and we'll get it to her. Sometimes when someone's sopping wet and they've just been baptized, they can't actually hear what you're saying. Write it down, give it to them, or bring it to us, because those words are important, and we want to make sure that she gets those. So what we're going to do, we're going to finish here soon after we hear from Isaac, and then we're going to go have some tea and coffee, and then we're going to go down to the lake, the marine lake, and we're going to be there for 1 o'clock. We're going to do the baptism underneath the English flag. So if you're looking at the flags along the marine lake, then the St. George's cross will be under that one, or the Union Jack if you don't know what that looks like. So that end of the marine lake, the shallow end, and we're all going to gather down there for 1 o'clock and then have a picnic afterwards. Isaac is being very brave, because He's probably the other end of the spectrum from Claire. But we've spoken to Isaac, and Claire and the True Colours team have spoken to Isaac, and we've given him a few questions to answer, just so you can get to know him a little bit, because actually, yeah, we need to know who all this group of kids are. They're not just the noisemakers. They're amazing kids who God loves, and we need to get to know a little bit more. So I'm going to hand over to Emily.
Yay, welcome Isaac down. Cool. So, what's your name?
Isaac Jordan.
In case you didn't know, if you hadn't heard that. And Isaac, how old are you?
10.
Isaac is 10. So we want to hear a bit about what you've been doing over the summer, most importantly. What have you been doing?
I went to my granny's house at the start of the holidays and went to a water park.
Nice.
And then we went to Chessington a few weeks later.
Oh, cool. Did you go down all the slides at the water park?
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you end up hurting yourself at all? Sounds about right. Yeah. So, Isaac, what does Jesus mean to you?
The saviour of the world and someone I can trust and rely on.
Brilliant. Who have you talked to about getting baptised?
Daniel, Claire and my mum.
Lovely. And me. We chatted. We're best friends. So, Isaac, you've thought about getting baptised before, haven't you?
Yeah.
And do you want to tell us a bit about that? What happened when you thought about it last time?
I just didn't think I was ready for it yet.
So Isaac was telling me a bit earlier about the last time people were getting baptised, which was a couple of years ago, and he really wanted to do it, but he just didn't think he was quite old enough and that he was ready. And now that it's come around again, he's like, I'm ready for this commitment. This is my decision. And he's excited about it. So what do you think will be different after you're baptised?
Everyone will know I love God and I'll be closer to God.
And last question, Isaac, why do you want to get baptised in the Marine Lake?
It's closer to nature and God's creations.
Nice. And it's freezing cold. Was that also part of it? You're really excited. Isaac was saying just how excited he was about the cold weather. Not really. But Isaac, we are so excited that you're getting baptised. And I think your whole church family stands with you today. And we cannot wait to see you get baptised today. So good job. Well done.
We're discussing the plan at the front here. Good. So again, if you've got words for Isaac, and another thing, Liz is going to be in the water with me baptizing, and I just want to publicly big up Liz because she passed her degree. Not only that, she got a first in her degree. And she's got herself a job working at St. Michael's, is that right? Yeah. Bristol Children's Hospital in the Burns unit, in the intensive Burns unit. So this is someone who is a single mum, has brought up her kids, has done a brilliant job wrestling them into church week after week, has gone out there, has done it. And it's not always easy, but there is a path and there is a way, and we just acknowledge how much Liz has done. And it's an amazing journey. So well done, Liz.